Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask you again to speak to our hearts this morning. How we praise you, Mighty One. How we thank you for your word of truth. We pray your Spirit would teach that to us now in Christ's name. Amen. There is a battle raging. Good versus evil. Right versus wrong. God versus the devil. And in this battle against evil, we, as in the evangelical community, often, very often, seem to want to make the battle out there. The immoral, the secular humanist, liberals, leftist agenda, gays, ISIS, or whatever flavor our terrorism is taking for the day. We want the battle for evil out there. Our minds are dominated by the evil out there. But we will be hard-pressed to find God headlining those battles in His Word. If we would ask God where the real battle is, if we would ask God where the battle begins, He would tell us that the battle begins here in my heart, and the victory is won here in my heart. Would you turn with me to Romans 12, verse 21? Romans 12, verse 21. Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How does God say to overcome evil? With good. Now we can go back to verse 9 of chapter 12. Verse 9, Romans 12, 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We are to live authentically biblical Christian lives that reflect our confidence in God, His Word, His plan, and His purpose. And that battle, the battle that God calls us to, begins inside. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. It's interesting because I got into this battling with evil thing and good versus bad and all that. So I started, I read through the Bible every year. So I started going through my mind. That could be tricky sometimes, but we know how that goes, don't we? And trying to picture where these places are, where God would bring our attention. Because see, folks, when we have a subject before us, where is the most specific language? Well, I don't think we can find a more specific language, a more specific part of the Bible that talks about overcoming evil. I don't think we can find it anything more specific than in our text today. I searched for fighting, wars, overcoming, victory, anything I could think of that could take me to a text in the Bible that had our fight against evil. Pretty interesting stuff that I found. Don't have time to look at all of it. But if you would look on your notes, I did see that frame there, how I've got that. I've got the big text, verse 9, and big text, verse 21. And then I've got the rest reduced. Not that it's not important, but I wanted you to see something. This section begins with, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast for what is good, to what is good. That's verse 9. Then we have all of these instructions. Now, you know what we're going to see when we get into these instructions? We're going to see, if we're really serious about this being transformed by the renewal of our minds. Because, you know what I could have called this message, and God knows, no disrespect to God, so don't you be offended, but I could have titled this message, God's Crazy Plan for Overcoming Evil. Because it's not something we would have come up with. But, you know, we've just looked at Romans 11, the end of the chapter, haven't we? We believe God is all wise. If we believe his wisdom is unsearchable, if his ways are past finding out, if we truly believe that God is God and he is as wise as he says, with just because we get something, and you know what we do sometimes? Well, that doesn't make sense to me. Oh, come on, Bubba. You know what I'm saying? Just think about that. We say he's all-wise God. God gives us it. Let me give you for instance. Never pay back insult for insult. God said it. Well, I just don't know about that. Well, let's see. Who are you? You're going to be around 70 years for the average. You were born in sin. King James said, shapen in iniquity. Without God, you have no hope, no help, no nothing, no future, except for a future paying for your sinfulness. You have your experience to go on, what you've gleaned from life, from whatever perspective, from whatever corner of the world you've been born in. Now let's see, and God's eternal, forever, infinite, all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful. And we're going to doubt what he says. Because, well, it doesn't make sense to me. Come on. There is a path before us. We sometimes we're craving for the peace of God. We're craving for the presence of God. And we hear this or we hear that and we're chasing this. And God's pointing it to us. God will point you to that. But it's like in something we don't recognize. But just take God at his word. Treat him like he really is as wise as what he tells us he is in his word. And see what happens. And that's what happens today, folks, in this we look at overcoming evil with good. Because there's some pretty crazy things in here. And there's some things that we just would not want to accept. And like I say, we looked at, oh, God's all wise, and then we looked at presenting ourselves as living sacrifices before him. We looked at being renewed or transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when we get to that place where God's doing that transforming work because we're allowing him to change our minds, it's like the light bulb's coming on and we're saying, ah, that's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, now rubber meets the road. Rubber meets the road. Proof is in the pudding. And I actually did a little checking on that. The expression is actually, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yeah, so whatever that, the whole point is, are we going to eat the pudding? God has it out there. We are going to have, he has framed this. Abhor evil, embrace good down here. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now we've got all those instructions in between. Are we going to believe God? Are we going to say, I want the transforming work of God Most High in my life? Or are we going to say, well, I just can't quite see that. See, what we deal with in America, we have the Bible. We have the Bible everywhere. I've got a phone right here. I've got minimum 12 Bibles on it. But are we hearing the voice of God? See? Are we hearing the voice of God? Well, our problem here is sometimes in our evangelicalism, in our fundamentalism, we have so many layers of so many generations that we've been slathering on top of God's word, and that has become God's word to us. And we shake our finger at the Jews in the first century and we say, oh, shame on you Jews, and boy, how could you believe that? Folks, we do the same thing. Because we say, well, this is what God says. Well, does it say that clearly in the Bible? Now, we can have thoughts, and I'm not ever saying you can't have a discussion for something, but when we say, this is the voice of God, then it better be real clear in the Bible. Or it might just be your voice. Or it might just be my voice. Or sometimes we're fooled because it's 10,000 voices. Or it's millions of voices. It's still not God's voice if it's not God's voice. We need to live authentically biblical Christian lives that reflect our confidence in God. What do I mean by that? Well, if he says, bless those who persecute you, that's just not some far-off, detached, abstract religious concept. Somebody curses you, somebody treats you the wrong way. How do you treat them? Do you treat them? I've got that in there. You remember that expression, and may still be around, the gangster? I don't get mad, I get even. So let me ask you this. That's on your study sheet too, by the way. Let me ask you this. when the evil in someone else spurts out and splashes on you and you get under attack, do you handle it like a gangster? Or do you handle it like a blessed child of God? And Peter tells us, in fact, that is our blessing. That's our calling. Pretty crazy idea, isn't it? Well, not mine. See, sometimes we just have this tumult in our lives. And we don't have peace and we're fearful and we're not listening to God. Now, I'm not saying we don't have at times fearful moments and we all have those anxious moments. I'm talking about our way of life. Because we're not letting God speak to us. Right there, the rubber isn't hitting the road. The battle begins with a look inside. The highest level with God is love God, love your neighbor. Right here, he says, look inside. Make sure we are real. Let your love be genuine, authentic. Now, if you peek inside and you see evil, abhor it. Don't make an excuse. I was looking for a church one time to attend, not when I was looking for a pastor. And you hear this, well, we're not perfect. Well, this is true, but don't use it for an excuse. Let's not use it for an excuse as a church, and let's not use it as an excuse for people. Well, I'm not perfect. Well, that's true, and you know what? The person probably already knew that if they'd been around you very long. Let's don't use it as an excuse. The battle begins with the look inside. You've seen, Friedrich Nietzsche, his comments. He who fights too long against the dragons becomes a dragon himself. And if you gaze too long into the abyss will gaze into you. Does God say, here, dwell on these things. The horror around the world. The terrorist attack. The gay legislation. Does God say dwell on those things? What does God say to dwell on? Well, you've got that in your study notes too. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Do we deal with other things? Yes, we do. Is there evil in our world? Yes, there is. Do we dwell on it? No. Unless you find some text in the Bible that tells us to dwell on it. And if you could show that to me sometime this week, I would appreciate it. Set your minds here. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Colossians 3:2, that's in your study notes too. Where do we have our minds? Well, let's just see how this works out. I want to give you an example now. It's very timely. Because see, we're out and we have these ideas, boy, we battle evil. And something comes up and man, we're going to stand for our cause. You know what we do a lot of times? There's an awful lot of sin that goes on in the name of righteousness. Now, we've got a very good example right here because we just voted, the missions committee did, the board approved it to support TJ and Emily Lemons. Aren't they a great couple? Oh, by the way, they're not perfect either. In case you were wondering, but they're a pretty good couple. We're real pleased to. Well, their organization, Crew, they changed the name. Let me read some of the comments by their brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me read some comments with Crew doing that from people who stand in the name of Jesus, so they say. Let me read some comments. You know why they changed their name? Well, for one thing, the crusade. And some people hearken back to the crusades that were going on, the crusades where there's war against countries trying to convert them to Christianity. And then some of them, well, they took Christ out of the name. But you know, the whole thing is even if they had made a mistake, these things are so wrong. But you know why they're so right in their minds? Because they are fighting evil. Because they are taking a stand. They're taking a stand for themselves. Let me read a few. Said I was going to do that. And I can give you the web address. I can give you Glenn Beck's site and all the venom. You can read, and there's more. These people, speaking of crew, are pathetic. If you don't have guts enough to stand up for Christ, then you are not a Christian. Now, this is an organization. Bill Bright and his wife, Bonette, had considered for decades changing the name. It's not because they want to reach more people. It's not some, let me just continue. Whether knowingly or not, here's another one. CCCI, Campus Crusade for Christ International. And here we go, boy. We got them red-handed. Has played right into the leftist agenda to remove any and all references to Christ or Christianity from any media or organization. And this has been a part of their agenda now for 100 years. I bet you didn't know that, did you? If you were involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, I bet you didn't know that. Because if you're involved with them, it sure doesn't sound like the group we know. I would rather, and then one of them quotes the Laodicean passage. I would rather, this person's really spiritual. Yeah, that's spiritual. Venom and hatred. Let's don't go examine what's actually going on. Let's take a stand. Let's fight against evil. Let's not think it through. Let's not listen to how God calls us to relate to one another. No, I've got a cause. This is so important. I don't need to listen to God. Oh, they don't say that, but they actually do. But they actually do. And it happens all the time. When the world sees you dropping his name, they can only wonder why you are so ashamed to have his name in your organization name that you feel the need to drop it. And there's more. Venom, disgusting sin. Because they're fighting evil. Show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible. I'll show you in the Bible how God talks about overcoming evil. There was a similar attack on Wycliffe. Because they were trying to figure out the best words to use in Bibles to the Muslims. There's a very known, you would recognize the name, I won't say it. I wouldn't really feel bad saying it. I just don't want to get somebody, because probably some of you listen to him. It wouldn't bother me saying it. Just ripping Wycliffe. Because they're catering to the Muslims. Did they do any checking? Did they do any research? Did they talk to Wycliffe? Did they find out why that their translators are struggling with this issue? What do you think the answer is? Nope. You gotta sell airtime, though. You got a TV ministry and a radio ministry to carry on. So just like the secular media, will run with it, because, buddy, that'll preach. Because we're going to fight evil. We're going to fight evil. We're going to take a stand. It's not God's stand. I think I could very, very clearly demonstrate it's not God's stand. It's the devil's stand. Because if you ain't for him, you're against him. Where am I at? Back over here. The battle begins with a look inside. Don't become the dragon. Definition of evil, because we struggle with this. The definition of evil: profoundly immoral and malevolent, wicked, bad, wrong, immoral, sinful, foul, vile, dishonorable, corrupt, iniquitous, depraved, reprobate, villainous, nefarious, vicious, malicious, sinister, demonic, devilish, diabolical, fiendish, dark, monstrous, shocking, despicable, atrocious, heinous, odious, contemptible. Is anybody hungry? Anybody feel like an apple? I shined it up. I don't know if I remember to wash it or not. But I shined it up. Is evil all of those things I just read? It is. So it's like, well, that's not us. Well, have you looked inside lately? How did evil begin? Now, it wasn't an apple. I have talked to people, and they thought in the Garden of Eden, that was an apple tree. Good thing it wasn't. Y'all see Uncle Dean's apples, white blossoms. I'm ready to go pick some apples, but it was one tree out of all the blessing of God. And you know what they decided? Oh, we should, because it's the same thing we still do today. Anytime we look at what God tells him, we say, well, I can't quite buy that. That's what Adam and Eve said. Eat all the trees of the garden, now there's just one. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. Folks, all they did was take a bite of fruit. Well, it says they ate the fruit, so they probably ate the whole thing. We won't nitpick on that part, will we? Just ate a piece of fruit. But they decided, don't have to listen to God on this one. Now see, we have a lot of things, and boy, I'm listening to God here, I'm listening to God here, I'm listening to God here. Be like Jesus told the person, said, but there's the rich young ruler. He said, but there's this one thing. Oh, can't listen to you there. Can't listen to you there. So we condemn the liberals for bailing on the authority and inspiration of God's word, but practically we do the same thing. So let's go through some of this training regimen. Next step in our renewal program. Let me find my verse. Okay. Love one another with brotherly affection. Yep, we're really to do that. Will we annoy each other? Yes, we will. Will we sin again? We're talking about the body of Christ here. We're talking about, most specifically, our fellowship here. Will we sin against each other? Yes, we will. Will we say wrong things to each other? Yes, we will. Still says, love one another with brotherly affection. I love this next one. Now, we're not talking flattery and all that nonsense, because flattery is sin, but outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Just don't be lazy. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. We have hope, don't we? We have hope. Rejoice in that hope. Are the clouds really dark? Sometimes, yes, they are. You got a rock under your feet if you know Christ? Yes, you do. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Live authentically biblical Christian lives that show we really believe that God is God. Secondly, live expectantly obedient lives that allow God to open every avenue of godly involvement in the lives of the people around us. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we want to be exclusive. Well, he said this to me, so I'm not talking to him anymore. And in fact, I'll tell my friends I don't want them to talk to him anymore, or her, or however the case might be. And this person, oh my, you know, what's going on in their life? Know what God says, as much as possible, you live at peace. You throw our lives open. Well, what about somebody just kind of attacks me verbally? Got that covered. Let's read starting in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Now, see, we've looked inside. We've seen the evil, and we see we need to examine, look the evil inside and abhor it and embrace the good. But now you know what happens? The people around us, there's evil there too. There's evil there too. There's people that we all do this from time to time. We brush aside God's teaching and we say, well, this is what I'll do. Well, what do? Someone persecutes you. Someone's after you. Someone's giving you a hard time. Well, with God's crazy plan here, he says, bless them. Do we do that? Do we bless them or do we gossip about them? Do we bless them or do we set in motion how we're going to get them back? We'll teach them. We'll teach them to talk to me like that. I'll teach them a lesson or two. They don't know. I remember I gave you the story of my associate pastor in Indiana and his wife, and she was working through the holiday season and working in an office, and one of the gals crossed her, and she told me just as proud as she could, she said, she didn't know who she was messing with. It's like, oh boy, yeah, that's right from the Bible. Yeah, but it'd be that maybe the dark side of the Bible there. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Sometimes it's easier for us to weep with those who weep. But something really good, and this stood out to me years ago, and I struggled with it at times, but something really good would happen to someone. The little green monster, last week it was a puff toad. This week I'm exposing myself, the little green monster's there too. And the little green monster, we can have a hard time, well, that's just great that happened to you. But this is transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, what does this come back to? Because we're going toward actually knowing God's will. So as we're looking on our world and we're seeing the battles and the stand and the evil and the direction, we're formulating, we're understanding, we're seeing this how God would have us to see it. All these things, it might not seem that related, but all these things, the inner workings of our hearts and minds is going on through our God. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. That doesn't mean, that's not a ceasefire, okay? Sometimes we want to, peace is like, it's ceasefire. Peace is a truly seeking to have peace and unity and harmony. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Never look down our nose at someone else. You know, it's so easy to do, though, isn't it? Just we'll see someone and it's just so easy to do. Well, if they had hoped, you know, we might not know anything about their life, but we can judge them. This is right there in the list of nevers. Never be wise in your own sight. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Now, we're going to say, okay, well, you know, evil for evil. That's a slight. That's a misdirected word. That's hurt your feelings. Whatever it is, whatever wrong it is, it's evil. If it was brought to you, someone else brought their evil to you and paid you evil. They might not have murdered you. You wouldn't, I guess, be able to repay that if they did that. But they said something wrong. You heard they gossiped about you. You heard they said this or they did that or whatever. Never pay back that evil. Again, it's kind of God's crazy plan for doing these things, for overcoming evil with good. We can let our minds run in all these directions. Well, they can't get away with this, or they'll do this now, or they'll do what? Who's in control of everything? God? Why do we sometimes not know that? I mean, we got it up here, it rattles around, but why do we sometimes not know that? Because we're doing this stuff on our own. We've pushed aside God's instruction, and we're handling it. Oh, but, well, they'll do this and they'll do that. What's it say? Never pay back evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Just hang on to that one for a minute. What is honor? The honoring thing in the sight of everyone. But you know who mostly? See, folks, one day we're going to be before God, and we shouldn't be having our knees knocking together and all of this. What a joyous opportunity we have. Because we're going to, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to do some things right, probably a lot of them. What a joy to be able to honor. Could I read, is this honoring God? These people are pathetic. If you don't have guts enough to stand up for Christ and you're not, that honoring God? Anybody here? Well, raise your hand and say, yeah, boy, that's honoring God. Jesus is pleased with that. You might be pleased. You didn't abhor the evil that was there. You kind of nurtured that evil. Kind of made you feel good. Because you pushed your agenda. Boy, you set them straight. Boy, I took my stand. But you didn't honor God. Just let that overwhelm you and knock you down flat in worship, that we can honor God. And that whatever I'm doing, and yes, it will bring us up short at times. It will admonish us. It will correct us. It will rebuke us. But I'll tell you what, it'll bring you a lot of pleasure. Because we can do that. It's like we're going to do this right thing. We can't see Him right now. But I'll tell you what, your heart will stir. Your heart will stir. And that peace that's escaped us, that He'll push aside that tumult, that the courage will push aside the fear, His presence. It's God's plan. We must do everything possible to prevent the evil in the people around us from turning us away from them. You hear what I'm saying? They're evil, I'll stay away from them. No. Everything possible. Now, as much as is within you, it says. if possible, as so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then thirdly this morning, live responsibly good lives that overcome evil. I'm going to read verses 18 to 21. I just read 18, but again. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Whose owns vengeance? Whose territory is vengeance? We talk about playing God. I mean, oh, you're playing God and you're playing God. Well, this here would be a pretty good text for that. Well, God, you know, maybe we didn't kill someone. Maybe it was just on par of eating the fruit from the forbidden tree, just eating a piece of fruit. But we pushed God's teaching aside long enough to say, you don't quite have this one, Lord. I don't know. Maybe he's just not familiar with our circumstances. Maybe God's overlooked a thing or two. Think that might happen? I don't think so. It's God's crazy plan. This transformation, the renewal. And we will see things happening in our lives. You will start tasting fruit in your life that you never tasted before. Because you really started saying, he really is that wise. He really is that powerful. He really is that sovereign. He really does love me that much. All these things, and it just starts pulsing with life. Do all we can to live in peace with everyone. We are to trust God for judgment. Now here, okay, now we're going to get really crazy, okay? Because to the contrary, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, verse 20. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, some of you probably really like the burning coals part, but it doesn't mean that. What do you do with an enemy? Do you want to strengthen them or weaken them? You want to weaken them. When you look at what it is, hit me. I was looking at this verse, and it's pretty forthright. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's hungry, he's getting weak, isn't he? If you're hungry, you need nourishment, don't you? What'd God just tell us? Is that crazy or what? Nourish your enemy. See, a lot of times that person is coming at you. They're coming at you from their insecurity. See, when you start listening to God and following this, you'll start recognizing these things. When you're out there on your own agenda and you're out there by yourself, you don't recognize this because your vision's about like that. But when you start listening, you start seeing that this person could be very insecure. And so a way you can nourish them is you could help them with their security. Now, they've got to buy into it or not. They've got to believe or not believe. I'm not saying we can't do their part for them. If they're thirsty, what are they thirsty for? They may have lashed out with you. It's like the indirect aggression. You're mad. Oh, I won't even. Lynn, I can't even bring myself to say it. Or Lyle's here too. Because they have that expression of your indirect aggression. If you're mad, kick the dog. But those. Hopefully you guys covered your ears and didn't hear that. They're both dog lovers. So anyway, we won't kick. No kicking the dog. But they come at you and they lash out at you. But it's not really you they're upset with. It's just this turmoil in their lives. This insecure. If they're outside of Christ, they have no help, no hope, no God. So what can you do? What food can you give them? What thirst can you help them quench? Yes, you're helping your enemy. So is God as wise as he tells us he is or not?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, really, we have some of these. We say, well, see Adam and Eve. They said, okay, yes, 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 nope. Yes, yes, nope, no. It's called submitting to our God. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Whether knowingly or not, they played right into the leftist agenda. When the world sees you dropping his name, they can only wonder why you are so ashamed to have his name. These people are pathetic. Did they overcome evil or were they overcome by evil? They became the dragon. That's a lot of what we do. We hear it, and we hear the message, and we got to do this, and we got to do that. Not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying, well, you can see pretty obviously if you're slandering and lying, if you're pushing forward an agenda with no research behind it, pretty obvious that's sinful. But it's here and it's there and it's all these people. And Dave, you're just a little old guy in a little old church in a little old town. Yep, you got me. I'm nothing or next to it. Child of God. It's right there, God's word. If you got to have 10,000 voices, I feel for you. If you got to have 3 million people buying into it before you listen, I feel for you. Because I'm just a little old guy. I wobble around with a bad hip. But if it's the voice of God, I don't need any others. Now, it's not because I'm something special. Well, I am something special because in God's eyes, we're all something special. But you know what I'm saying? Have all the other voices. Have millions buying into it, but if it's not God's voice, it's not God's voice. And how much evil is pushed in the name of righteousness, and we're so blind to it. We haven't won over evil, but we have been overcome. We haven't taken the dragon down. We've become the dragon. We haven't pierced the darkness with light, but we've been overwhelmed and consumed by the darkness. But we have hope. We're going to proclaim his death. We're going to proclaim what Jesus did for us. See, folks, that's what we stand on. That's what we stand on, what Jesus Christ has done for us. Would you join me in prayer, and then we're going to have the guys come forward for communion. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome to share the bread and the cup with us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Praise you, Mighty One, for your word of truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.